Too often, I didn't thank the right people. Too often, I didn't thank my parents and different people that were in my life, but that was easy. When I got saved and I got became grateful somewhat, when I was looking to get my life together, thanking my mom was easy. Thanking my dad was easy. Those were the easy parts. But who thanks the vine dresser? If I had to title this sermon anyway tonight, this little message, I would title it, Thank God for the Vine Dresser. And let me read the scripture and we'll go from there. So this is Jesus talking. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. See, this is, I wasn't a first-time winner to this process of trying to be saved, get my life in order. I was not a first-time winner to this process at all. You know, I came around years ago, parole or probation officers and people like that, halfway house directors, Washington House people, and then people got on my nerves. You know why they got on my nerves? Because they were digging around me. And they were dunging me. They were giving me what it took for me to be whole. I just was too stupid to understand it. I hated being in halfway houses. I hated being in the Washington House. It was always good for the first couple of days because when I first get there, I'd already run myself raggedy. So the first couple of days I do is put the Washington House, if anybody's old enough to remember the Washington House in here, I was a frequent flyer at the Washington House. I'd get out there. And I'd run myself raggedy, and you have to wear your pajamas for the first 3 days, which was great with me because all I want to do was sleep and eat. But when the time to get up, when it's time to wake up and get into the meetings and get into what it would take to get me to the next level, I got sick of it quick. 7 o'clock meeting here, at 9 o'clock class there, this kind of thing. All these rules and regulations were getting on my nerves. They were getting on my last nerve, and I always was the guy who was smarter than everybody in the place. I always would figure out ways around the rules. There was always ways around the rules. See, because I was smart enough to stop using when I got ready because, I'm not like everybody else here. I just use because I like it. But I'm gonna quit real soon. But I get in those places, man, I didn't want to follow any rules. Needless to say, I stayed out there in those streets, living that life of misery. Up and down, up and down, up and down for 25 years. 25 years of my life out there on those streets running up and down, up and down, up and down. Being shot at, thrown in jail, prison, jumped, all kinds of stuff, man. Homeless, the whole nine yards. But I did not have enough sense to thank the vine dresser. See, because I want somebody to talk to me real nice. I needed somebody to talk to me, be nice to me. I was sensitive. Now here's the guy running down the street in the middle of the night carrying a flat screen TV on ice and not slipping, but I'm sensitive when it comes to somebody talking to me. Here's a guy stole from his mother, stole out of my own house, but I'm sensitive when somebody started addressing me. Here's a guy didn't have reverence for nothing or nobody. Whatever. If I didn't do it, let me say it like this. I didn't do everything because I didn't think of everything. If I didn't do it, it's because I didn't think about it. Because in the time, see, I wasn't a baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. And when it came time where I didn't have any more dope or any more money and I was out of plans, if you had gave me a plan where I could have got $2 or $3, Jack, I would have tried it because that's the kind of dope fiend I was. But yet when I get somewhere to try to get myself together, I didn't want anybody talking harsh to me. Now you let me stay up in this place. Give me 3 meals a day, and you're trying to give me some instruction. You're trying to give me some character. You're trying to build some integrity in me, but you got to be, I'm so sensitive. You can't talk anyway to me because I'm going to walk out. I'm going to leave here. I hate these people. I preached a sermon once in here. The title of the sermon was, "What is help?" See, first off, to get help, you got to know what help is. That's the first thing. First off, in order for me to get help, I had to know that I needed help. Second off, I had to know what help was. See, I went to the halfway houses and places like that. I'd go to the rehab center, and I'm going to tell them how to fix me. I'm going to tell them the program that I needed, Bob. I'm going to tell them what I need because this is what I need for you to fix me. If I knew what it needed to fix me, then why am I in the condition that I'm in? Physician, heal thyself. But I had to get to the point, and it's not comfortable. Because you imagine you digging around this tree, because if anybody's ever worked in the ground, tilled the field or any of those kinds of things, did construction work, when you're digging around a tree, you don't dig light. Man, you got to kick that thing in there, buddy. You got to get that pick and get around it. So I can imagine it's not that comfortable being dug around, getting picked on and stuff like that. And then dung, you know what dung is? Everybody knows what dung is, right? If you don't know what dung is, raise your hand. I'll tell you what it is. But and getting that put around you. So that's what somebody had to do. They had to put me in a position where I could be strong enough to be the man that I need to be. See, because I thought somebody owed me a living. I thought somebody owed me a living. I'd get myself in trouble, go to jail, go to prison. I'd get home. I'm at the halfway house. Now I'm the God's gift to the world. Thank God I'm here. Y'all blessed to have me. You know what I mean? So now let's figure out, let's work this thing so Lyle can be comfortable. Let's figure out how Lyle can be comfortable. See, but Lyle, that wasn't like my dad worked 42 years at General Motors. My dad took a job at General Motors up in Defiance, Ohio, didn't even have a car when he first took the job because he knew he had a family. See, the measure of a man is you do what you have to do to take care of yourself. And if that's a woman too, the same thing. When I say man, I mean an adult. The measure of an adult is you do what you have to do. And he did that. So I was too slick, Willie. I was too much on that dope. I'm trying to play games and get myself caught up in all this foolishness. Then I want somebody to pamper me. Somebody talk crazy to me. I'm ready to fight. See, because I was one of those people that was physical. That's why God allowed this to happen to me. He wanted to take that part of my life away. He wanted to take that part of my life away because even saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, I still had an ankle in the one to raise my fist at times. And even though I didn't use my fist at times, I still had that mentality. Even in the ministry. Talk crazy to me, man. I just had that stance, had that mentality. Man, you know. And so when this accident happened at work, as soon as it happened, bam. First thing God said in my heart, I didn't say good to the doctor, didn't say scream, none of that happened. The first thing happened was he said, make a fist. He said, make a fist. And I looked at my hand, and this finger was going that direction, this finger was going that direction, and this finger was stuck this way, and I tried to ball it up and make a fist. And not one of them fingers moved. not a finger moved. I tried to squeeze again and make a fist, and I couldn't move a finger. And God told me, you don't need that fist no more. He said, I've made you a leader. I've made you a leader of men. I have made you a man of integrity. I've made you a man of God. You will lead, but you won't lead with that fist. See, because sometimes when God is taking you to a place where you've never been, you can't take that same garbage you used back there. You've got to dump some of that stuff. See, so I learned to thank God even in my infirmities because this made me stronger. Because I understand that that mentality had to go. But you know, but go back to like I was talking about the halfway house. I'd get in there and I'd go to the meetings like this here, and as soon as somebody would say something that was against me or say something that I felt when they was trying to talk about me, I'm not against turning these tables over there now. We can move some furniture. You know, I thought I was bigger and badder there, but I wasn't bad. Some people were just trying to get themselves together. They didn't want to be bothered with my mess. But I did not have enough wherewithal to understand they were trying to help me because I didn't know what help was. I didn't know how to thank the vine dresser. I had to learn how to thank the vine dresser. I went to a church one time when I was out there on the streets. I was a thief. It was my thing. I was a thief and a dope fiend. And so I stole a lot of electrical equipment, microphones, speakers, TV, stuff like that. So I stole a bunch. And see, there's some crooked churches in this town. And I sold a lot of that stuff to some of those crooked churches. And so what I did, I went to one church one night, one day in the afternoon. I had my stuff, and I see the car sitting on the front, so I went in. And I put my stuff on the table, and the pastor's sitting there, and some couple of women are sitting around him. They started talking about, and he knew me. He said, "Hey, Mr. Calsall," he said, "what you got there?" So I lay all my stuff up on the table and put it out there. And all the people were picking it up and looking at it, saying, "Man, this is top line." So in the back of my mind, that old dope fiend thing kick in. I'm counting what I can get. You know what I mean? I'm already counting the sack. I'm counting the thing that what I came for. And the old preacher looked at me. He said, Brother Calsall. He said, "What you want?" So I began to smile inside. Because that's a dope fiend's dream. He said, "What you want?" Because now I know he's interested. So I began to say, you know, give me this for this. And you cool with me, so I'm going to give you a deal on this. You know how we do it. I'm kicking around. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only dope fiend in the room. So I'm going around here. This is how we're going to do this here and this here. And then when I got through, the man looked at me. And he pushed that stuff back at me. He said, "Brother Calsall." He said, "You're in the right place." He said, "What you need is here." He said, "But today you don't want nothing." He said, "Come back when you want something." Man, I wanted to hit him in his face. He's going to embarrass me in front of everybody. I got to get back out in the cold and get back on the hunt. Man, but you know something? Thank God for the vine dresser. Thank God for the vine dresser. He told me what I needed was there. Thank God for the vine dresser. He understood what I needed. He knew what I needed. Even though I didn't know, he had enough heart and wherewithal to tell me what I needed. He wasn't scared of me. He wasn't ashamed of me because the love of God, the power of God was on him. And today I see that. I see him every now and then. Every time I see him, I hug him. And I talk to him because that was one of the things that hinged on me getting my life together. That's one of the things that hinged on me. See, I wasn't one of those people you could talk nice to. Because if you talk nice to me, you were weak to me. And you were weak to me, that means you became fair game. You became fair game. As soon as my addiction kicked in, I remember I was one of those guys who were going to the church, Bob, and I would look around for the people who I thought were weak. And if you were weak, well, you were who I was going to come to for money at the end of the service. See, I wasn't saying listen to the preacher. When I preached with a preacher, and I was fishing. I'm looking around the congregation to see who I can come to get a few dollars. And if you were one of those people, don't dare when people sat there and cried and, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to him. He's soft." But I thank God for the vine dresser. I thank God for I had a probation officer. Some of y'all might know him. Name old Jerry Lafley. Oh, Jerry Lafley come to my house in the middle of the night because I was acting a fool on probation. I was clowning. I had caught new cases and everything, and I was clowning. So he came to my house one night in the middle of the night, and I already had that little pistol because I knew somebody knocking on the door. I knew somebody coming to get me because I hadn't done everything in the world. So I eat the little pistol up in the chair right by the door. "Who is it?" Well, I didn't say who was it first. I had my woman. Because see, when you was a dope fiend like me, I was a real dope fiend. That dope fiend made me a coward. So a coward like me, I sent my woman to the door. See, I wasn't man enough to protect my woman. I sent my woman to the door. Baby, see who that is. Yeah, a man like me. A man like me who didn't have enough wherewithal to thank the vine dresser. So she asked and she said, "It was Jerry laughing." I said, "Who? That's your probation officer. He want this time of night." So he come in the door. He been hit. My name was ringing around town like a school bell. So he came in to check me. He come in there and start talking crazy to me. And my woman's standing there, and I'm going to get halfway indignant. "Man, you don't talk to me like that up in here." He told her, "Has he been bothering you and this and that?" He looked at her, and she bent down and shook her head, "Yeah. I don't care about what I was going on up in here." Because that's the way I thought. I was an idiot. I wasn't no real man. I was an idiot. I was an idiot in a man's suit. I looked at her, "Man, you know how we do, fellas? Ain't no way in the world. This is my woman." So he pulled a card out of his pocket. He said, "If you have any problems out of him, you call me," and handed that card. She took that card, and I smacked the card and everything on the ground. I said, "Ma'am, if you call you, when you come, you better take her with you, because that's your woman now." See, but that's the way I thought. That was my, I'm saying that I'm trying to help somebody tonight. See, I wasn't always saved. See, my life isn't where today. Today, let me say something. Today, I sat in the attorney general's office. Today, I have a card in my pocket to bring my phone into the courtroom as a mentor. Today, I hang out with the mayor. These people, I have their numbers on my phone. They call me personally because God has transformed my life. Today, companies like Shambaugh will call me in the office and say, here's 40 applications. Go get us 40 people. See, because I'm not that idiot anymore that I used to be, because I began to thank the vine dresser. Because I began to understand that this was to help me to be something other than what I used to be. This began to make me understand that I can be responsible. See, I'll tell you something. Running out of gas today. I got to stop at the gas station when I leave here, as a matter of fact. But running out of gas and what's for dinner is no longer a problem in my life. Somebody knocking on my door and saying, hey, you got a bill due, is no longer an issue in my life. Every now and then a mercy comes up in my life, and that's far and few between. And when I do, God has put a family around me. They say, what do you need? Boom, 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 boom. But for the most part, it's been a long time. For the most part, I had to ask to borrow $10. I don't know what it is. I can't remember the last time I asked for $10. I don't need it. You know, and I'm not saying that bragging. I'm telling you because I began to understand what that probation officer was talking about. See, I began to understand what that case manager was talking about. See, they were only in my life because I made choices that put them in my life. Anybody ever been to prison? You ain't got to raise your hand, rhetorical question. But let me ask something. What does prison take from you? Give me three people, give me an answer. What does prison take from you? Three people, any three. What does it take from you? Take you what? Somebody said freedom? What else? Take your dignity, what else? Anybody? Time? I beg to differ. Takes none of those things from you. I got 20 years in prison, spread out across the years. I got 20 years in cages, spread out across time. It does not take any of those things from you. Prison simply takes one thing from you, Bob. It takes one thing. You know what it does? It takes your right to make decisions. Say, oh, it takes my family. No, it didn't. Your family's still there. You just can't choose to go see them. It takes my job. No, it didn't. Your job's still there. You just can't decide to go over there. It took my woman. No, it didn't. Your woman's still there. You just can't make that decision to go see her now. See, because once God has allowed you, once you've made enough bad decisions, once I've made enough silly decisions, God realized this man cannot make good decisions. I need to put him under somebody that will make decisions for him until he can make decisions for himself. And that was not comfortable. That was the vine dresser. That was the person putting the dung and digging around me to make me whole so that I could bear some fruit. Nothing's worse than going somewhere so that fig tree, I can only imagine looking up at that fig tree, seeing that fig tree there for 3 years and not a fig on the tree. Not a fig on the tree. You know, it's just like me today. I call myself a minister, a mentor, a man of God. Now, what would it be like if you came to me and I have nothing but problems to give you? So I wanted to have something to be able to give someone. I wanted to have figs on my tree. The word of God says you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. As you keep coming to me, I have no fruit, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. So I had to get myself in position to thank that vine dresser. And then when I went to prison, I went behind the wall in Michigan City. You know, when I was in jail and stuff, they put me, me and his brother used to run around together years ago. My God, I miss him. You know, but they always put me in the murder block. I always go to H&K block. And I would ask them. And one time my cousin was an assistant commander. So I figured I'd get a break this time. So I wrote her. I said, why do you always put me in the murder block? I got a theft charge. I'm facing 3 years. My roommate facing life. Why do I always get sent to the murder block? And they wrote me. They sent me a request back. They sent me a thing back with a reply on it. We simply put you around people you most suited to be around. How'd that make me feel? How'd that make me feel? I'd get in there, now the part of the decision, so they would send me to Michigan City or a place like that, then I would go to the level places. See, when you're in prison, you start making better decisions. You stop getting in trouble, they start seeing the lower levels where you can make better decisions. You can make more decisions. See, you can't make the decisions in Michigan City. You can make at Channel Lakes. Two different things. You can't make the decisions at Miami that you can make at IREF. Two different things. See, but even me, with my being the idiot I was, not understanding the vine dresser and that God sent the vine dresser first off, not understanding that God has sent the vine dresser to put something in me, I would get to places like Channel Lakes because I could pretend. See, I could play the role. I could lay dormant. I could do the okey-doke and lay by the rope-a-dope or whatever, lay back on the rope for a minute. I'd get there and then my true character would come out. I was at Channel Lakes in 1987. In 1987, I was in Channel Lakes. And I clowned so bad that they called me in the office one day and they surrounded me with every officer from first shift and second shift. And they said, "We got a transfer for you." I don't care. And I looked on the paper and it had Indiana State Prison. And it shook me for just a second. You know, we tough guys, but that's shaky for just a second. I said, "Well, hey, man, I don't got no write-ups. How am I getting to Michigan City?" I was a level one on Thursday. Friday, I was behind the wall of Michigan City at level four because of my attitude, because I didn't know how to appreciate the vine dresser. And I'm not going to keep you long. I just want somebody to understand that halfway house isn't against you. That rule that you think is so stupid, and it is stupid. I'll agree with you. It is stupid. But do you know why that rule is there? Because some knucklehead 2 years ago came in and did something so stupid that they had to make a rule to catch all. So we got, you know what, this is silly, but we just got to put this rule here. We can never have this happen again. But see, I had to understand that. I first started coming to the meeting here, I wanted to run the meeting. I wanted to run the meeting, and because I wasn't ready, I quit coming. See, because I had to grow up. I had to learn some things. I had to be taught some things. See, I thought that because I quit getting high, that was good enough. See, that was just the beginning for me. That was just, when I first started getting high, I realized how jacked up my thinking was. My way of thinking was jacked up. I look back today, I can't believe I thought like that. You know, this little pastor used to get in my face sometimes, put his finger in my face over wings and deliverance. Why would you be so mad, that little dude, little old man, you don't get up out of my face? I missed that little man. He passed away. Bishop Jimmy Clark Sr., he passed away. His son, Robert Clark, is the pastor over there. And this old idiot right here is an armor bearer. I never thought I'd be speaking in that pulpit in that church the way I did in that church, the way I dogged that church out, the way I acted to the people in that place. If God can change me, he can change anybody. But I had to be open for some suggestions. My best thinking got me in prison. My best thinking got me shot and in the hospital. My best thinking got me jumped out there in the streets by 20 guys. My best thinking got me homeless. My best thinking got me estranged from my mother and father. I had to learn. This is just the beginning. The Bible says the beginning of the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. That's just the beginning. I had to start fearing God. And the Bible talks about do not despise the day of small beginnings. I first came home from prison, man, I got ripped off. I was trying to do right, went to this job and went to this realtor, sold the house, and I sold the second house. He stole all the money. He ended up going bankrupt. And now I got a decision to make. I got a decision to make because I didn't have a lot of money at that point. I'm just getting home, and I got my family involved in this. Now that pride kicked in because I became ashamed. They saw me get played like that. See, Donnie, I ain't want nobody to know that Lyle would get played like that. You know, because Lyle was a tough guy on the streets. I lost two fights on the street in my 60 years of living. But I didn't want nobody to know I got played like that. But Marvin, I had to do something different. I believed God. I believed God. I held on to that faith. Faith, let me tell you something. Facts, the fact was he ripped me off. The fact was I did the best I knew how to do. But my faith overrides and trumps the facts. That's why I had to come to understand, Bob. My faith overrode the thing. I'm not losing because he ripped me off. Because my God said he had me. He said he would not leave me nor forsake me. He said I would be the head and not the tail. He said I'd be above and not beneath. He said I'd be the lender and not the borrower. I had to believe those promises. The word of God said the Lord is my shepherd. Said I shall not want. Said he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. They lead me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I had to begin to call them promises out of God and begin to understand and believe it. So it didn't make a difference. I didn't have to jump on that guy. Now I went to another spot. This guy called me. I got a degree in culinary arts and I got my serve saved. Guy called me with this food truck. Said, man, I heard about you. I need you. I'm going to get these four restaurants going. I'm going to start them for 2 years. I'm going to make you the general manager over the stores. So I went and helped him. We went out and put that store together in Columbia City. I mean, we went to the field and brought that big old freezer, that big walk-in freezer, by slab, a slab at a time, into the store, put it together, got all going. When he got up running, he came to me with a, well, you know what, I'm going to have to start paying you like this. I said, no, wait. I said, that wasn't our deal, man. Well, he began to try to bring you the scripture on me. He tried to use the scripture to turn why he wanted to cheat me. Now, see, that was my cue back 20 years ago to hit him in his face. But I was somebody different because I began to listen to the vine dresser. The vine dresser said I couldn't act like that and still be in this society. It said I had to learn to deal with life on life's terms. I had to learn to do things that they do it this way. And so I was hurt inside, but I was angry, but I just knew that the God of my understanding was going to be okay. I just knew that God was going to take care of me. I just knew that Jesus Christ, he said he was my Lord and my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. I had to believe those things. I had to walk away from that job. And the doors start to open up slowly. But when they began to open up, they became major doors in my life. When they called me out to this company, the mayor called me, said, I need you to go out here. Talk to these people in this company because they've been in business a long time, but they got cultural issues going on out there. I said, okay. Now, don't sell yourself short ever. There's some gifted people in this room. Your gifts come without repentance. There's some great men and women sitting in this room. Don't you sell yourself short. When I went out there, I didn't know what to say. See, but I had to learn that sometimes I got to ask, what question should I ask? See, because I don't know everything. I had to understand, I got to ask sometimes what questions I need to ask because I got in the room full of these CEOs, these owners and corporate managers and stuff. The mayor, they're sitting there, and then there's me, the old dope fiend thief. And they look at, they put on the table what they got going on, and they look at me. Say, what do you think? And I began to let God speak. And when God got through speaking, they said, hey, we need you in here. And they gave me an offer that I couldn't resist. They paid me a great salary and gave me the run of the place. But that's what happened because I didn't hit that guy in the face that ripped me off about those houses. I didn't hit that guy in the face that didn't do right by me on that food truck. It looked like the facts were I was getting let down. But the real thing is my faith. God had me all the time. God has got you. That's what I encourage you. God has got you no matter what it looks like. Listen to the vine dresser. It's not always comfortable. It's not designed to be comfortable. I remember when I first went to prison, I was always an athlete. I'd get in there and lift weights because, you know, when you first go the first time, you don't want to get beat up. So you always make sure you're strong as the next guy or join a gang or whatever you have to do. So I'd get in the weight pile and I see the big old dudes when I first got there lifting. So I start lifting, and, you know, you kind of shame to get out there. They lift it, you can get your 125 pounds up, you know, you getting that out there. But it wasn't comfortable, but I kept working. I kept working there. I could press 300 pounds up off my chest. And I got there, it took a while. I didn't do that the first week I was in prison. I didn't do it the first month I was in prison. It took time to get to where I needed. And if I can have that endurance, God showed me if you can have that endurance in there, why not have that endurance with me? It didn't take me a week to get to where I'm sitting. I got 9 years. I've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've made some dumb decisions in them 9 years. I have made some stupid decisions. I made some decisions I was ashamed to tell people. But now God has even showed me that why would I be ashamed to tell the vine dresser? Because the vine dresser is there to get me right. So now I have an accountability group that I talk to, and I let them know my shortcomings. Man, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I did. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm leaving you with this. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on, don't be ashamed to thank the vine dresser. Recognize it for who it is. The Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Listen to the vine dresser. God has put him in there in your life for a reason. And if you go through that, you're going to come out on the other side real soon. You're going to come out the other side real soon, stronger and better than you ever were, because the measure of a man, what's the measure of a man? You do what you have to do. And that means the same thing for a woman. This is my second Christmas. I've been saved 9 years. It took me 7 years to be mature and secure enough for myself to have my Christmas tree in my apartment by myself. Last year, the first year, I enjoyed Christmas with my Christmas tree in my place and all the presents under there, and none of them were getting sold. None of them were getting took out of the house. You know what I mean? This year, for the second year, I enjoyed, and I've been saved 9 years. I've been ordained as a minister 3 years, going on four. But it took, so don't get in a hurry. Don't get upset. Walk it out. This is a marathon and not a sprint. God bless you. Let's pray.